You're listening to Around Comics, episode 105. Chicago, this is Around Comics, a round table. Oh, screw it. I can't do this. Anyway, hey, guys, this is Sal. Chris is not here today. This is our news and reviews episode, and we have quite the interesting panel. As always, Tom Caters is here.
Hello. Hello.
That was Tom.
And me, Mick.
Got Vegas throat. It's dry out in the desert.
Artist of the all-new Adam, Mike Norton, has joined us once
Hello.
Again. What is it with you guys? Nobody can talk?
What do you want from me?
I'm going to beat this
I ain't Scotty Young over here.
Michael Buffer.
Yo,
Beebleborp.
He's going to beatbox. He'll beatbox over the whole episode.
Hey, is Beebleborp from a movie? Because
it's from, like, Conan O'Brien does it or
that's
something
That's
like
what
that,
it was.
Whenever he's doing his nerd thing.
All right. I knew I saw
one
it.
Of those things.
And also Tim Seeley has dropped by the
beatbox.
Shop.
Just quick. I'm on the way to dinner, actually, so I'm just stopping. I was actually just on the way to make fun of Norton.
To impress his woman.
No, she doesn't care.
Yeah, that's how you impress a woman. Bring him to the comic book store.
Exactly. And make fun of somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if that works.
Yeah, let's go by the comic store and make fun of people. Are you hot?
You think, baby, we're done. Oh, yeah.
Well, this is our Monday episode, our news and reviews show. And like I said before, Chris isn't here today. He
which explains a lot now. One of the show's already gone off the rails.
Yeah, it won't be the last time. He's off with his
son.
Son.
23-year-old son.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked. But
that was my child older than me.
We don't ask questions here. We accept.
But he'll be back on Thursday when we talk with artist of Phonogram, Jamie McKelvey.
I drew his son like 57 sketches.
Did you really?
Yeah, he's going to go sell them on eBay.
He wanted to know, are these worth money?
Yeah.
No, so we could probably buy like...
Are you sure that's his son?
Probably buy songs off iTunes. The kids
business manager.
Yeah, they're all for Chris. All those sketches. He doesn't even read comics.
Why am I drawing 12 sketches? Of Queen and Country.
Speaking of Queen and Country, this episode is brought to you by Borders, an effort to help mice thrive despite dangerous predatory attacks. The Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, the guard discovers a traitor in its midst. Get your copy of the handsomely illustrated Mouse Guard by David Peterson at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest in graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
Yes, and there you go. Anyway, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7-ish at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
Or whatever.
Located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you, and you could meet Mike Norton or Tim Seeley. Or
not here every week.
No.
No.
Dude, I am.
I've got a life.
Seeley.
Yeah. I was here twice this week. That's how sad my life is.
I've been here every night. Because sometimes we record different nights, and, like, they don't tell me all the time. So I
always just hang out. Are they recording?
They're recording. And speaking of meeting people, who would you like to meet old comic book creators? That was the worst segue.
Absolutely.
Old comic book creators? Well, if you can't, and most people can't, maybe you'd like to donate money to them.
Sure.
Which you can do at the Hero Initiative. Make a donation at heroinitiative.org and send us an email at hero@aroundcomics.com, letting us know you did it.
Done.
That was weird. This
really?
Is why I don't read this. This is why
letting
Chris and Sam go back and forth.
You did it?
You did it.
The Hero Contest is being sponsored by InStockTrades.com, and they're including $100 in gift certificates, good for anything at InStockTrades.
In addition to a $50 gift certificate, the first place winner will receive a prize pack, including a one-of-a-kind hardcover edition of Jeffrey Brown's I'm Going to Be Small, and an autographed Scotty Young sketchbook. But inside of that Jeffrey Brown book, Jeffrey Brown's actually done some drawing.
Yeah, he did a sketch, and it's weird because he does all his books, like, in real size.
It's actually smaller.
He draws in tiny.
No, but he does it. He does them like in these little notebooks that are the exact same size.
Book too.
The change box. Change yeah.
Box. Those are the greatest thing ever. I'm looking forward to.
And also, I know that Mike has donated a sketch on the Captain America Fallen Son coverless cover thing.
You did one too. You can have it. Ask Mark.
Right. I don't think Mark's going to give that one up.
I got a thing to give away. I'll be doing a tax return.
So donate to heroinitiative.org. Email us at hero.
Of Star Wars figures
at aroundcomics.com. And remember to check back every week for prize packs. We're going to pick the winners randomly from the entries. And you get to help out Hero. So
yeah.
There you go.
Help people for a change instead of taking things.
Yeah, you bastards.
Yeah. You get this for free.
You get this for free.
Well, anyway,
clearly you should pay for this.
Yeah, clearly you're getting a huge deal.
This is our news and reviews episode, so it is now time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
That's right, it's Wire to Wire comic book news, and Wire to Wire comic book news is presented by comicbookresources.com, the comic site you have to visit.
And the have is in a different font.
No, it's italicized. Same font, just italicized. That's how you, you
is
know,
that
accentuate.
Their actual branding? You have to
it visit? Is, yeah, it is. Wow, the comic site you have to visit.
The first news item is something that I'm actually very happy about.
Very pleased
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that the ridiculous Silver Surfer quarters that the Fox is planning on
releasing,
yeah, has been determined to actually be illegal.
By the U.S. Mint.
Yeah, by the U.S. Mint.
So maybe it's
counterfeiting?
Yeah. Well, what they had planned to do is they were having the Franklin Mint put, like,
the Silver Surfer
yeah,
on
like
one
a sticker,
side.
But it's something.
It's like painted or
yeah.
on it.
But they're, it's not
oh,
just
it's
that.
They painted?
Were gonna, they were going to release it back into
like
circulation.
Circulation.
Yeah.
40,000 of these quarters. They were. They
that
were
doesn't taking. Sound illegal at all.
Yeah, doesn't it? And already these quarters are selling for like $100
yeah,
for a stack
on
of
eBay.
Which means that there
oh,
are.
I sell them for 300.
There are people, there are idiots that's out there who will pay $300 for a dollar worth of Silver Surfer quarters.
But the thing is, I mean, if like if you get the. I mean. If you walked into a 7-Eleven and used that, do you think, like...
They wouldn't even notice.
Have you...
Yeah, I don't know. Would people notice?
No,
or
I
would
think I'd notice a painted quarter.
Hey, I mean, the one side's fine.
Silver Surfer.
The other side's a Silver Surfer.
Yeah, but it's painted.
Well, yeah, some, I don't know if it's, like, hand-painted, but there's, like a printing on it or something of the
yeah,
Silver Surfer on the one.
I can show you.
It's illegal.
When I worked in bars.
Which, anyway, is great.
Quarters. Okay.
Come here, Mark.
Because I think I was creeped out by the fact that now money, like, I was waiting for the Terminator $4 bill to come out. With
the
like,
the Rambo 7.
Yeah, the Rambo.
Rambo Stallone
Rambo
$5.
Rambo driver's license you could get to, like, advertise.
What were you saying, Mark?
Oh, I said, what actually with the would they accept the quarter or not? They would, because
well, they probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, they don't even take. They used to promote like raves and stuff on quarters and stuff. They'd have stuff printed or stuck on the other side. You'd find them all the time.
Yeah, but this is like
this is stamped on.
I mean, it looks like a
on,
fake.
Looks like it looks. It does look.
It is fake.
It
I mean, it's
terrible.
Not a
it
real
looks
quarter.
Really bad.
Yeah,
if you look at because you can still see the outline of the real quarter.
But now Marvel and 20th Century Fox can be they may be fined by the U.S. Mint because of this whole.
What it seems like you'd ask Frank first.
And the Franklin Mint.
Well, the Franklin Mint is who made, but the U.S. Mint is the one that's saying, "Hey, right. this
but
is illegal. You can't
Mint
do
and
that."
Marvel are the ones that are getting sued.
Yeah,
well, I think that or the thing fine, that they should really draw attention to is how beautiful the quarter is in its own natural state, without any sort of silver surfer to it.
Well. Our next story, Marvel has announced and released the first edition of the In the House video blog. Joe Quesada,
online sausage party.
Joe Quesada gave fans a preview of the newest Mighty Marvel marketing idea on Friday, last Friday, on his blog, as well as the in his Cup of Joe column at Newsarama. It's basically it's a video kind of podcast from Marvel in the Well, I guess it's not the bullpen anymore.
I saw it
anymore,
with the sound off, so I don't know if it
I
was
saw
funny.
It with the sound.
It, you know,
it was okay.
I kind of went off on it on the forums
I'm
a little bit.
I'm convinced that he only made it to show you how
thin he is.
Yeah. It's like, look at me. Your system works.
He did lose some weight. You know, it's funny because I saw him on some other podcast, like a video podcast he was on. They were interviewing him like 2 or 3 weeks ago. No, but I'm like, I was looking at him like, wow, he looks a lot different. Like, I'm like, did he get some work done? You know, right. Did he get a facelift or something? And then I found out he had lost a bunch of weight. He looked good. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, like I
it
said.
It looked funny.
It was funny.
That's a weird thing to say.
It looked funny.
Yeah, I didn't
the
hear it.
Don't match.
I don't know. I saw Brian Bendis was giving him a haircut.
Yeah,
that seemed kinda funny to me. But I had the sound off just because I didn't want to.
Well, sort of like the theme of it was, yeah, he goes through the offices and all the different writers and artists. It was Bendis and Brubaker and Straczynski,
Jeff Lowe, Dan Slott.
They were all kind of like.
On Dan Slott was fixing a copy.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. Yeah.
I think he does that up there.
Actually,
it's a slash
but,
writer slash.
So
he may have. I think he was an intern up there. He may
at
have
one time,
fixed
he
their
may
copy
have
at one point.
Hey, you know, even though I am not an intern at where I work, I still have to fix paper jams because no one knows how to fucking.
I vowed never to work in an office in any capacity at any time in the future. I don't care how hard up I get, just because. I'm guaranteed to be the guy they're going to get to carry the big heavy boxes.
Well, I don't care.
I could be the president of the company. They're going to come by my office and say, could you come pick up this?
I figured they'd ask you to change light bulbs because you're so
that
tall.
That too. I'm like, no, I'm not your trained monkey.
Mike Norton will not work in office. Luzerama, go.
Yeah. Look forward
what
to.
Does Mike Norton think he is?
I'm not carrying your heavy boxes.
Look forward to more additions, episodes, I guess.
Jack Kirby would have changed those light bulbs without any problem, and he would have done it all
changed
day.
15
while he was drawing the Fantastic Four
at the same time.
Our next story: nominees have been announced for the 2007 Russ Manning Award. The Russ Manning Award is the most promising newcomer award, and on the list, Steve Bryant, artist of Athena Voltaire.
Yay
for Steve. Joel Jones, artist of 12 Reasons Why I Love Her.
Yay, that book's awesome. If you haven't read that book.
I haven't.
It's great.
I haven't read it. The artwork is great in it.
Yeah, it's really a really cool story.
She kind of looks like, it reminded me a little bit of Christine Norrie's stuff.
Yeah.
It's very brushy. I liked it.
Rollo Liedsma? Ledesma. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. Artist of Phony Baloney and Toxic Teddies. David Peterson, writer-artist for Mouse Guard. And Buddy Sechuan?
Buddy S.
Artist of Roadkill. The award will be presented on the evening of Friday, July 27th at the San Diego Comic-Con as part of the Will Eisner Comic Industry Awards ceremony. I know Steve's very excited to be nominated, and he'll be there at the
it's very
awards.
Cool.
There's only one of these artists who have used me as the basis of a Chinese scholar.
This is true.
Steve Bryant. So I think they got that. He's got that going for him right off the bat.
I wish there was like open voting so we could really push, but it's not. It's based on quality. Well, I know
we can't. The ballots that go out, they don't have newcomer on there. That's voted by the.
Yeah, I don't think it's part of the Eisner Award balloting itself. It's a separate award.
Oh, really?
And it's voted on. Well, I know the nominations were made by a different panel than the Eisner Award, so I'm assuming. I don't know. But if there is voting, if it turns out there is public voting.
Congratulations to everyone.
Yeah, congratulations to everybody. So next on the list, Seven Seas, the manga publisher Seven Seas Entertainment, announced earlier this week that they are postponing their English translation of Nymphette, which is a Japanese manga. They're putting on a hiatus. Interesting that nobody really knew about this story until this came out. Nobody even knew that they were. I mean, nobody really had said anything about Nymphette being published, but there seems to be some controversial.
It's about an 8-year-old who wants to have sex with their teacher.
Yeah,
which is controversial.
Which is a little and. Yeah, I don't know. I saw some of the images from inside the Japanese version of it, and I don't know.
Oh, really? Is the artwork kind of?
Well, no. There's no sexual. There's no nudity in it. There's not even really any sexual situations. But the story is about this elementary school student girl who is trying to sexually entrap her 23-year-old teacher.
Yeah, they like some crazy shit over there.
So, and I know, like, the one scene out of the book that I saw, she's holding up a sign that translates to something like, I hope for you to ejaculate inside me. So wow. It's certainly, I would say that's controversial.
You know what? I think this all falls into the school, you know, with the recent controversy of the Mary Jane statue. People should just make whatever the fuck they want, and if you don't like it, don't buy it.
And yeah, like, and I wrote like, I actually yeah. wrote a column earlier this week about that.
I agree
that.
With that, but I if I saw that, I'd be like, what, really? Yeah.
Well, that's what
wow,
I...
that's kind of creeping me out.
I was kind of shocked because we get, at the drop of a hat, you have so many people on the internet blogging about stuff like the Mary Jane...
Jesus Christ, sorry.
Norton.
About the now Mary Jane gone. Statue or the Heroes for Hire tentacle porn-like cover or whatever... But something like this, it's like you would think people would just jump all over something that's... I mean, I guess it's
are
not...
Are they not jumping all over it?
I never heard boo about it really? Until after the story.
Maybe they were all tired out from the Mary Jane and Heroes for Hire.
People like sick shit. It's always been true. It's not just recently that people like shit like that's 8-year-olds point. Trying to have sex with 23-year-olds or people getting raped by tentacles.
Right.
This shit's been going on for centuries, all right? So let's not all pretend that all of a sudden we all became freaky assholes. We've all been freaky assholes. We
for
just
a
now
long
have the internet
time.
To all bitch about the shit that we don't like.
Well, they've currently Seven Seas has decided to put the book on hiatus, so
there's
we don't.
Truth to this.
It may not. It may come out. It may not come out. I don't know. Next story is another manga story. Kaplan and Tokyo Pop are introducing a vocabulary building.
It's not working for you.
Yeah, building manga series.
I think it's good that you misspelled building.
Yeah, yeah. What's up?
I haven't gotten to the spelling
part. What does bekilding mean?
Bekilding.
Vocabulary bekilding.
I thought this was kind of an interesting story. This company, Kaplan, has put out stuff in other areas of
they do,
like education.
They do the manuals for like getting in your
grad school.
Yeah. SAT yeah. stuff and that. And this is another series of books that'll be about building your vocabulary. Kind of interesting that you know they're trying to find new ways of getting people interested in learning.
They
you know.
Encourage you to entrap your teacher into a sexual situation.
Well, let's.
Yes, they don't mention that nymphet is one of these.
Nymphet is one of the words you learn.
Ejaculate. That was the winning word in the spelling bee last night, by the way.
Ejaculate.
No, I'm kidding,
yeah. Use that in a sentence. I hope for you to ejaculate on that.
Oh,
boo. Oh, boo. But if I wrote it in a comic book, it would be millions of people that would love it. All right? Just because I said it. Speaking of millions of things that people loved but we all seem to hate now, Superman Doomsday cartoon debuts on...
At the San Diego, Comic-Con. Tuesday, July 26th, we'll see the debut of Superman Doomsday, the animated feature from DC Comics and Warner Brothers Animation. It's going to be released on DVD September 18th, but they're going to screen it first at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. If of all the like Superman stuff that you would make an animated film out of or an animated show out of, it's like the Doomsday.
Well, why not?
The best
what can you think of another story? Think of another story. Other than the origin.
Wow.
No, seriously, that's the most interesting thing that's happened to him
Superman?
In about the last 20 years.
What about like you know, a Superman for All Seasons?
Seriously? Is that not an origin story?
Well,
it's him.
Is it?
Is it out of continuity story?
Yeah.
I mean, I think
oh,
the
wait.
Thing is though.
It's,
I think.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking of what was the.
If you're appealing to a larger audience, this is the thing that people know about Superman.
This,
I mean,
yeah.
for
a chance
me,
to, you get to have all the DC stuff in here. It's going all over.
For me personally, like just looking at the movies they plan, because they have the New Frontier one
right.
and the Teen Titans one.
Yeah.
This is the one, obviously, I'd want to see those two more, but for mass appeal,
yeah.
I mean, this is the
one
you're
going to
get.
Totally. I'm interested in seeing it. It's funny because this week a friend of mine got me the Spider-Man 3 game for my birthday, and I promptly returned it. Cause it's worse.
Promptly.
Well, it's worse than the movie. And I traded it in for the Justice League Unlimited box sets. And I've been watching those all week and just remembering how great that cartoon is.
God,
and it makes me amped up to see something like this because, you know, those were really... They did a great job of making those adult and child you know, child friendly at the same time.
But they made it completely accessible.
Yes, which is amazing. It is. It was almost on the edge of being a little too inside.
Yeah.
Because I sat there watching it thinking, I can't remember the last time I saw a kid's cartoon that had a continuing storyline that didn't really tell you what happened at the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Not since I saw Robotech when I was 12.
Yeah, and it blew your mind. Yeah.
Blew me away. Well, I know Chris is a big fan of it, and he used it to sort of like learn a lot about the DCU that he hadn't, you know.
It's
very
interesting, and it's awesome to sit there and you're watching these characters that you've seen once or twice, and then to like, hey, I know that guy's voice, and it'll be like somebody famous. I think like Nathan Fillion was Vigilante.
Mark Hamill.
Vigilante was it?
Yeah, old Western
the
Vigilante.
The old Western.
Oh, really?
Chase either.
That was one of my favorite ones, where it was the Seven Soldiers of Victory, like in a certain way, because you had Stargirl, who's sort of the Star-Spangled Kid version. And it was all like the non-superheroed character. Like, no one had superpowers, and they had to go to a parade because none of the big guns could afford it.
And then you have, Dennis Farina as Wildcat.
Mark Hamill as the Trickster.
Yeah, he's done that before.
He's the Joker, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to mention.
Didn't he play the Trickster in the Flash TV series?
Yes, he did.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. That's some spandex I did not need to see.
No.
Yeah. The Flash TV series?
Yeah.
I kind of like that, though.
It was all right.
It was all right.
It was okay.
I would have thought the big muscle suit would have slowed the Flash down.
All right, let's move on. So anyway, if you're interested in seeing that, and you're going to be in San Diego,
we just talked more about JLU.
It's the same guys. It's going to be good, is what I mean. I think that if they just keep doing what they're doing,
I got to think of at least one other Superman story that.
I can't, other than like an origin. I can't think of a significant Superman story that stands out.
The only other one I can think of is an ending. The whatever happened in the Man of Tomorrow.
That's the one I was thinking.
But they've done that.
That's what I was thinking about.
They did it in JLU, didn't they?
No,
that
they
was
did.
The man who had everything.
The man who had everything.
Yeah.
I guess Superman's just kind of boring.
He's not boring, but he has certain stories that you can do over and over again, and they work in a certain way.
He's boring. Anyway, next story is IDW is launching Star Trek Year 4 for all you Trekkies out there that are still upset that the original Star Trek ended after 3 seasons. Now this will continue with Captain Kirk and Spock and all those guys in Year 4, just like I guess they're taking after the Buffy Year 8.
Right.
They're doing Star Trek.
Allow me for our absence, young.
Beeblebore.
My brother, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to tell my brother about this, but just like when we were kids and I got into DC and my brother got into Marvel, and we only based upon, like, I think he only picked Marvel based on the fact that we have to have opposing tastes.
Yeah, right. Me and my brother and I were just like that. I was totally Marvel, and then he came home with, like, Green Lantern and Green Arrow, and I was like, the hell, you don't even read. You just got that to piss me off, didn't you?
And when I got into Star Trek The Next Generation, my brother just decided to start enjoying the original Star Trek. Like, for no other reason, I think, really, than, like...
That pissed you off.
Yeah, didn't piss me off. It was, like, we had to like the same things enough to be brothers, but still have our dividing lines about what, like, he's that guy and this, I'm this guy, you know, like... So I'm going to tell him about
He's almonds, and I'm
He's
not.
Almonds, and I love cashews, but we both love nuts.
David Tishman will be writing it, and he's worked in that universe previously. He did the 6-issue miniseries Star Trek The Next Generation, The Space Between.
Listen to the rest of this. For IDW, but characterizes writing Year 4 as his own personal
Kobayashi Maru.
That's like the fucking trick situation that they put people
That was in the
into.
Film, though.
I know. That was
I just wonder, like, are they going to do, like... I mean, I was a Star Trek fan to a certain degree. I mean, I wasn't, like, crazy about Star Trek. I really got more into Star Trek at Next Generation. The original series was okay, but, it's such a bad show. I mean, as far as, like... The quality of it. I mean, the stories were good, and there were certain, you know, sort of moralistic themes in them that were cool. But, I mean, as far as, like, the acting and the special effects, I mean, it's horrible. I mean, you know,
What are you saying?
Well, I love Shatner. I love the Shat, but
the Shat?
he's a horrible actor, especially back then.
Oh God!
Who was good on that show though?
Denny Crane.
I don't know. Yeah, Denny Crane.
That was how you acted back then.
That's classical Shakespearean acting.
Well, no, on TV, that's how you acted. You tried to fill up the scene and make yourself the. I mean, that's why you always hear these stories about how they. Oh, I couldn't stand the Shatner. Took up all the screen time.
Well, I don't care about it.
Rocket Man.
But I'm just wondering,
yeah,
like,
Crank has that. He'll
like translating that into a comic book today. I mean, are they going to try and take that campy?
I have a problem with a lot of, you know, like TV movie licensed anything because you really can't translate any of that stuff. I personally have a hard time.
I do too.
Translate the closest I've seen. Is that new Buffy series? I read that and picked it up, and I'm just like, yep, this is Buffy dialogue. You know, it's a little stiff
because I'm not
seeing people walking around, but I could definitely see this as a TV show.
But you're not getting Gene Roddenberry to write, you know, I mean, as
no,
much.
No, but, yeah. You know, I'm not as attached to the TV show. I mean, I was way too young.
Right.
And, you know, when
it was way over by the time.
Yeah, I mean, and I grew up, I'm a Star Wars, you know, you got Star Wars kids and you got Star Trek people. And, you know, it's just like they don't, I mean, you can like both, but they usually fell in different camps when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and I would see that in reruns and just like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm kind of interested. I want to actually see the first issue of this. So
yeah, I am too. The artist, I believe, is Steve Conley, right?
Yeah,
he used to do the Astounding Space Thrills website,
right.
And he's a great artist. I'd get it for his art alone. So
be interesting whether they take more from the films or the TV show.
I wonder what
they'll do. All right, the next story isn't much of a story, but I just put it in there for Tom. DC released a kind of interesting image of. It's not a cover, but it's just an image of the Flash with the Rogues Gallery, and it had the tagline, "The Countdown Continues" in Flash number 13, and it was sort of an ominous image of the Flash.
They've broken up the alive part of the fastest man alive.
And
smash.
So
I didn't notice that.
And I didn't either until Tom just said it.
Obviously, he's paying more attention. Yeah.
But this isn't the first time we've kind of like DC's been sort of hinting at this issue being something big is going to happen.
It's a really nice homage to the Flash number 174, the Carmen Infantino cover with all the.
I wondered if that looked familiar. Yeah.
Only to Tom.
Looking at it, and I was like, that kind of looks like a cover I've seen before. And then I thought it kind of looked like Brian Bolland had drawn it, but I was looking at
it looks like Bolland drew the Flash.
Yeah.
But the Rogues don't look like Bolland drew.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
good eye.
Good eye, Tom.
All right. Nerds.
Beeblebar.
But
I hate that term.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just Scotty trying to be cooler than comics.
Oh, I didn't say that. Damn, he's going to come up in here all googly-eyed on you.
But I know your theory, Tom, is Wally's coming
They're
back.
They're not going to kill Bart.
No?
No.
Why not?
Barry's not going to
kill him.
People don't really... I know people like to think that people care enough that Barry would come back, but people would care way more.
If
they're going to bring someone back, they'd
bring Wally
back. Because that's what I think most people honestly care about. But whatever. I'm not going to speculate.
Well, you may want to check out Flash number 13. It seems like
something big.
DDP's Sheena becomes an ongoing series.
I heard about this today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Did Tim...
No, I just saw it online.
Oh. DDP will continue the adventures of the strong and beautiful jungle queen, Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, in Sheena, Queen of the Jungle number 1 this June, with 5 dramatic covers drawn by artists like Nicola Scott, Tim Seeley, Kari Randolph, Tim Seeley sketch cover incentive.
Tim Seeley again.
One more Tim Seeley. But so it's going to be an ongoing series for you Sheena fans. I don't know.
Nicola Scott is dreamy.
Nicola Scott.
She draws a sexy jungle queen. as if you could draw a sexy jungle queen.
Yeah, well, so does Tim. Tim, I don't think he can draw much prettier girls than Tim does.
He does draw the pretty girls.
But I mean, Sheena, that was the Tanya Roberts movie, wasn't it?
Was she in? Did they make a Sheena movie?
Yeah, she's it's an old property, but
Tanya Roberts.
Yeah, welcome to Las Vegas.
Would you like to buy a timeshare in Las Vegas? I can't get the gravelly voice. I have to smoke like 15 packs of cigarettes.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
All right, moving on. Teen
Las
Titans.
Vegas, welcome.
Teen Titans looks like it's going to be going to the silver screen. Film of the Teen Titans has Mark Verheiden.
Verheiden
attached. He's the writer of Superman, Batman at DC Comics, and writer producer of the sci-fi series Battlestar Galactica. Producers Akiva Goldsman and Kerry Foster are on board, with Jessica Goodman and Jesse Ehrman overseeing for Warner Brothers.
I think the most interesting thing is like the fact that most of your big name character, Nightwing, has been attached to it, but only because Robin is attached to the rights to Batman.
Right. Yeah.
You can't
weird
have
how
a
that
kid
works.
Flash in that movie because Flash is assigned to whatever.
So they just gotta kind of like scrape together.
It's gonna be like Cyborg.
It's funny how that
there's
works.
There's still a ton of Titans characters that you can use.
Well, what about
the
cartoon?
It probably won't be the heavy hitters like everybody
wants it. Yeah. Well, what about the cartoon? The animated Teen Titans cartoon.
It didn't have Kid Flash.
Didn't have Kid Flash.
Had Robin.
Kid Flash.
Had Robin.
He wasn't a main member.
But your animation and movie rights are.
I guess. Yeah. Completely different.
Yeah.
You
know? It is funny how that stuff works. And that's why. I don't. Well,
I wonder
not
who.
The main reason I don't.
The only reason why I don't dominate animation.
You think?
Yeah. That's what it is.
You think they'll go after like a bunch of young Hollywood stars to do it, or they'll get a bunch of unknowns, or
well, if it ever makes it to the screen, we've heard about the Flash film for about
they're gonna
4 years.
Yeah, America's been going on for like years now.
Because comic movies aren't definite sellers, especially now where they've had a couple of losers come out. So they try and put as much.
Have
star
they
out.
Though? I mean, I know they've had some crappy ones.
But
have they done bad?
Bombs.
I mean, like even Ghost Rider, I thought did.
Ghost
fairly
did,
well.
Did mediocre.
Was
mediocre
it?
To good. It won its
really
weekend. But you know, I mean,
everything
they've had some.
Weekend,
everything. Yeah. I put out a movie next weekend, it'll win its weekend, you know, because it's just like.
You pick your weekend.
Whatever hypes
movies,
up. And
movies are in the crapper.
I
right
see, I'm
now.
Not. I'm not even convinced that a Flash movie will ever come out, even though we've heard about it for like years and years.
Yeah, I got to think that, you know. Give it a rest. There doesn't need to be a comic book movie every month, you know. And you know what?
Well, DC hasn't had much of anything other than, you know,
Batman.
They had Batman and Superman, but you haven't seen
like 225 million.
Yeah. Okay.
But they've also I think for some reason Warner Brothers seems to be like sort of sitting on their properties.
Yeah.
Which isn't
seems
necessarily
weird.
Horrible, I guess, if you look at
But doesn't that seem bizarre that it's like you're Warner Brothers. Shouldn't they be the ones leading the pack? You know, I mean, it's Warner Brothers.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't know anything. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know anything about the inner workings of all that stuff, but it just seems to me bigger corporations aren't the fastest to move on stuff.
True.
You know, especially if it's stuff generated from the inside, like, you know, DC is.
Yeah, I guess maybe just because there's so many layers.
Marvel moves fast a lot of times because it has to.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
and they can because it's one entity, whereas Warner's got so many arms.
I mean, and when you create your own production company, when Marvel is the production
right,
company now,
you can.
That's why you're going to be seeing all kinds of crap shooting out, and hopefully it's not going to be all kinds of crap shooting out. You know what I mean?
Good stuff.
Yeah. But
I was watching two thoughts I had about comic book movies when I was watching The Right Stuff the other night.
What is that?
That's the. It was
the old astronaut movie.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
With
I thought there might be some other rights.
The
no.
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
No.
Biotech.
The one with Well, three things I thought about. First, you had Sam Shepard playing Alan Shepard, and then you had Glenn playing Scott Glenn.
Yeah.
What's the actor's name? Isn't that weird, though? But anyway, what I was thinking... that wasn't...
Is there a comic book of this or something?
No, but the two things I was thinking about is that...
this wasn't one of the two.
No, this wasn't one of the two. What's the actor that... it's not Scott Glenn. It's the actor who played Scott Glenn.
No, Scott Glenn is an actor.
Oh, is it Scott Glenn? John Glenn is the... Okay, I'm sorry. Scott Glenn, the actor, would have been a perfect Captain America, especially if you watched that film.
Oh, back then.
Back then. Okay. Now he's too old.
He's kind of a skinny old dude now.
Now, yeah. But the other thing I thought of is Darwin Cook must be a huge fan of that film. Because if you read New Frontier, all the stuff with Hal comes right out of that movie.
Oh,
the you know, Pancho Barnes and all that stuff. And but anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail everyone
on
right stuff.
On things, Sin City 2 is going to be delayed. An interview at the Cannes Film Festival, where he was introducing his film project based on Will Eisner's The Spirit to buyers and foreign press, Frank Miller told a correspondent from the Rotten Tomatoes website, Sin City 2 is likely to happen, just not right away. The script is written and Rob and I are raring to go. It looks like I'm going to have to do The Spirit first, and Robert's going to do Barbarella.
Barbarella?
Who's playing Barbarella this time around?
Oh, man.
Is that a movie that needed to be remade? Wait a minute. That's half the movies that get remade.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, when they're remaking Back to School.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, you can't do that without Rodney.
You can't make that without Rodney. Yeah, that's a Rodney Dangerfield movie.
That is a
Rodney. It was made for him.
Vehicle.
I think it was made for him.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you fucking Dane Cook is going to end up in
it.
He's going to be shitty. He's not old.
What's wrong with Dane Cook?
You need two things.
You
can
do Will Ferrell.
You need Rodney Dangerfield, and you need Oingo Boingo. You don't have those two
things.
It's
a dead man's party. Of the University of Madison.
Well, they could get Oingo Boingo cheap. Yeah. I mean, you could pick...
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't know. He wouldn't even have anything to do with that last Spider-Man movie.
But what if Will...
The guy that Oingo Boingo is, he's Richard fucking God. He's on The Simpsons, Batman.
Boingo, Danny Elfman.
You're never too rich.
Speaking of never too rich.
Wait a minute. No. All right, go ahead. I was going to say, what if you did it with Will Ferrell, though? What if you redid Back to School with Will Ferrell?
No, give him a new thing.
They did that. It was old
Back
school.
To School is not that old yet that you need. Like, Revenge of
the When's
Nerds,
Caddyshack going to be redone?
Someday they're going to remake Animal House and they're going to go too far and they're never going to go see.
Well, they've tried to remake that like 12 times,
though. They did Old School.
Well, but they've done a couple. I mean, National Lampoon has tried to remake that film. Yeah. And a couple of times
people
didn't
can't
work.
Leave well enough alone.
Mm. More Frank Miller news.
Not leaving well enough alone.
300 dominates the Q1 quarter one graphic novel sales.
Spurred on by the success of Green Bay's favorite son, Zack Snyder. Movie adaptation. Frank Miller's 300 dominated sales of graphic novels in both the direct and bookstore markets during the first quarter of 2007, according to the research conducted by ICV2. For ICB2 Guide 43. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
The $30 hardcover edition racked up well over 1.5 million in retail sales.
If you live in Chicago, 300's playing at the Logan
Square
Theater for $3. But you cannot wear your baseball hat backwards.
Why?
Because
gang.
Thuggish.
Yeah. Don't be such a thug.
But here's the thing.
Can I wear my
grill?
You've complained
about the Davis Theater. This theater is way better than the Davis.
I've seen a movie there.
But it's not bad. For $3, your expectations are way different.
I think I hurt my back in one of those chairs.
Because
it didn't have padding on it or it had been ripped
out
of it.
Tom, do you tell people now that you like grew up on the same street as Zack Snyder?
No. He's Green Bay's favorite son. And he makes Watchmen. I'm going to defend Watchmen no matter what. He's Green Bay's. Graduate, it's either East High School or Southwest, but either way, my mom called me to tell me Zack Snyder's from Green Bay. They hooked up in Wikipedia, because Wikipedia's always right.
In other news, Fabian Nicieza is bringing Captain Action.
Too.
What is it?
Nicieza. There's no N in Nicieza.
All right, whatever.
Captain Action.
He's bringing Captain Action back to comics.
I'm doing Captain Action now. Holy crap! I got it. You've witnessed the birth of an idea.
Captain Action. Moonstone was looking for pitches for Captain Action, and I guess Fabian had the right one. So he's going to be penning the new Captain Action comic, which for people that may not know, Captain Action was a action figure comic property way back when and
60s.
in the 60s and way back when and
back in the day
back in and I don't know what it, I don't know we'll see what it looks like
back in the day dog.
Moving on, Comic Foundry magazine update. Tim Long reported that there was a compromise made between him and Diamond to allow distribution of the Comic Foundry magazine in September.
I love this compromise of like in the issue price. This is such an obvious compromise price from $6.25 to that attractive $5.98 that people look for on the comic book stands.
Yeah,
$5.98.
I missed this story. What was up with that?
Well, initially he's been working on a magazine, Comic Foundry website, comicfoundry.com. He's done for a while. It's mm-hmm. like
I did an interview with him a long time ago.
Well, he's been working on a magazine version of the website basically, and he submitted it to Diamond for distribution, and they refused it based on that it was black and white and that the price was too high.
Right.
And so he sort of. Went out to the internet and kind of, you know, wanted support from people to write into Diamond, suggesting that they, you know, rethink this. And not very long afterwards, a couple of weeks, they've made this compromise. Now, on the one hand, you know, while it's only 27 cents, I know if you're from a retailer's perspective, there's a big difference between $6 and $5.99. That's why everything is priced. You know,
oh, of course.
Whatever. Anyway, next story, our last story is about Dave Cockrum. On Thursday, May 31st, DC Comics was the host for a memorial tribute to artist Dave Cockrum, and Comic Foundry's Tim Long attended it and filed a report. He said, Clifford Meth, Cockrum's longtime friend, started off the speeches reminding everyone that Dave died in his Superman pajamas and was cremated in his Green Lantern T-shirt. He also read a statement from Marv Wolfman, who was unable to make it in town. Next, Meth introduced a prepared audio statement from Harlan Ellison, but not before making a light dig at Gary Groth. appropriate time for
it. Yeah, that's where you do it.
Yeah, Ellison read from a humorous intro he wrote for a Cockrum tribute book. It actually drew a tear from Peter David, which actually came out of laughter, not sadness. Not everyone was into Ellison's enthusiastic but long speech, as Mark Waid jokingly pretended to cut his wrist halfway through. Joe Duffy, Jack C. Harris, Roy Thomas via Paul Levitz's proxy, and Chris Claremont also spoke and shared anecdotes. Unfortunately, he missed the rest because he had to get back to his day job.
Well,
but
I think it's really cool because if you look at in JLA and JSA crossover, the fact that that Legion of superheroes is sort of back in the continuity, that is very much directly influenced from Cockrum,
sure.
sort of his design
right,
on
right.
these characters. Yeah. Like, and the fact that he designed the X-Men that
he's
everyone's around.
Nightcrawler. Designing. I mean, he's a great costume designer, great character designer.
So.
And most of those characters are still around.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah, and he was a fantastic artist, and he will be missed, but
I will
never
be cremated in my Flash T-shirt. Or my Reverse Flash, depending on if I'm evil if I die.
You will be. Well, that'll do it for our wire-to-wire comic book news. That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listeners, know. I always hate doing like the Chris parts of the show when he.
Don't you? Yeah.
Because
I don't take up anyone's slack. I still do exactly what I always do. I do no more work.
I don't try
any harder to do anything. I don't try and like.
We appreciate.
There's no
that,
team. Though. There's no team spirit
in Tom.
Like,
there's
I
no
do
team
what
in
I do,
Tom.
Man.
There's no I in Caters.
There's no team. You can't spell team with Tom. All right.
Well, anyway, this is Top of the Stack, the part of the show where we tell you what to buy. Or what we've been reading the last week and what came out. So, Tom, you always start us off. There's no reason to change that.
There were several good books out this week,
mm-hmm.
and I'll characterize them as good, but there's one book that really stuck out to me. I had a tough time deciding between two books. JSA Classified was really good with the Wildcat story. That was an excellent story. But to me, the best book I read this week was The Black Coat or Give Me Death. Part 1 of 4 story. If you haven't heard anything about the Black Coat, it's sort of a Revolutionary War Batman. It's
like
Batman
or James
in the Revolutionary
Bond,
War fighting against the English.
English.
Yeah, there was a miniseries that have already come out, a 4-part miniseries that's in trade right now. The thing I love about this series is that the cliffhanger at the end of the first one, they don't back out of it. They completely follow through with what happens. And they're putting their character into a really precarious position. It's really interesting. They don't cop out at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
They And written by Ben Licious with art by Franco Villa. And Ben Licious has a wonderful thing in the back where he talks about the reason why they did it that way. He remembers watching like old serials of TV shows where a car would go off the cliff and it would explode. But then the next week you would see that the hero jumped out of the car.
They did a lot in Heroes.
Yeah.
That TV show Heroes, they did that a lot.
Backed
and
out
he was
it.
Like, that always pissed him off. So he's like, what happens if you don't back your hero out of that, you know, out
if
of that
If you actually
problem,
write him out of it.
Through with what happens. So it is very much a, it's...
So it picks up right after the first series.
Picks up right
series.
After the first series is done. But you can, there's a little recap at the beginning. You'll follow what's going on. It's a Revolutionary War Batman fighting against the English. It has elements of... like sort of Frankenstein mythology mixed in with it. It's got a little bit of science fiction. It's got a little bit of this. It's got a little bit of that. It's got action. It's black and white.
And the Black Coat himself is sort of like a secret agent-ish kind of character for the Revolutionary...
He's like a secret agent, but he... I just think of him as like Revolutionary War Batman.
Batman.
He's got all these gadgets and shit. He like can fight anyone. And he's always, like, getting in physical combat. So he's very intense about what he's doing.
And I know Frank Avila is becoming a big name.
Yeah, well, he deserves to be. He's,
one hell of an
artist. He draws fantastic. I mean, he's just got a really gestural, energetic style. And lots of, chunky brushwork. And I love his gray tones, too. I mean, it's just really rich stuff.
Yeah. His stuff in the first Black Coat series kind of reminded me of Alex Toth Zorro.
Right.
That's the feeling I got out of, that same...
This guy knows how, his how to balance a page out with his blacks and whites. It's just very... I love to look at this stuff.
So I if that sounds intriguing to you, pick
go
it up.
Go get
Revolutionary
it.
War Batman
from Entertainment.
Ape Entertainment, some freaky Frankenstein shit, zombie sort of stuff almost.
Zombies
sounds good.
Magical potions, underwater people in deep water diving suits.
Are there a lot of wigs? Men wearing wigs.
There are wigs.
Everyone. You can't swing a dead cat in that universe without hitting a wig.
All right.
The political party is what it is.
Yeah. I'm more of a free soil man myself.
All right, Mike, what have you been reading? You got a top of the stack for us?
Well, I bought some books and I read some. I can't think of one that I would qualify as top. I could pick the book that he did in the JSA Classified
really
Wildcat, because I really like Wildcat. I read it, and the problem I had with it is it really reminded, because I've told you I've been watching these Justice League Unlimited, reminded me of the episode that Wildcat was in.
That's true.
Where he was stuck in the underground fighting group, and I'm just like, wait a minute.
They ripped off the cartoon.
It's got its own flavor because it's not...
A little harder.
Did Paul Dini write it?
No, Frank Thierry did.
Frank Thierry.
Oh, okay.
Matt Haley drew it. And I really like what Matt's doing, whether he's putting a little bit of pencil texture for shading in some areas. Uh-huh. I kind of like that. But overall, I couldn't tell if I liked the story because I just really like Wildcat.
Yeah. You know what I loved about the story, though? I loved the interaction between how Wildcat felt about beating that old boxer and how he felt about beating Sportsmaster. Mm-hmm. Like, some people just need to be put into retirement.
Right.
And they need someone who's kind enough to beat the shit out of them without really hurting them. Yeah. Like, when he was thinking, I have to beat the shit out of a Sportsmaster, but not kill him.
Sort of like Holmes and Ali.
Yeah, he needs to learn. He's old.
He's done.
He can't
This
come
is
back.
It. Well, that makes a lot of sense because it's like athletes, if you ever listen to, like, older athletes, like the guys that just won't quit, even though they're way past their prime, it's like they just love it so much. And it's like they have to be finally shown. It's like, this is it. You're done.
Well, there was that one great panel where he was like, and I did him the greatest favor of all. And there's a moment where you're not quite sure what happens. And then the next page, you turn it, and he's like, I beat him so bad that he learned not to come back. And that was his
mercy killing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mercy ass whooping.
It wasn't
is what
like
it was.
I fell for him. It was like, I beat him so bad that he learned not to come back.
I've been,
that's kind of the theme of the Justice League episode, which is kind of like I was talking about
I love Wildcat. Yeah. I think Wildcat's such a cool character. Yeah.
I've really enjoyed the JSA classified stories.
They're a lot of fun.
A lot of good.
Little, like, two-part stories.
Yeah, and they can do a lot more because of that, too, because it's like you don't have to do it on, you know, it's one or two issues and you're done, and yeah. I picked the Dr. Midnight one was great. It was really good stuff.
I think it's fun because where the pitfall that the JLA classified falls into is they try on too many, like, five-part stories or six-part stories. The JSA classified, you can just sort of, like, pick out stories that you want. Like, I don't usually pick it up, but I'm like, I like Wildcat. I'm going to pick up this Wildcat. Exactly.
And you can be done with it. Two issues and you're done. Yeah,
and it's fun because you get to see Wildcat just by himself, and he is an awesome character to, like, see how he works in his own little universe.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well,
Score.
The book I picked.
Score, a direct hit.
Picking up where you were talking about, you know, how you weren't sure if you liked it just because you really like Wildcat or not, the book I picked this week is from a friend of the show, a guy that we know and all like, Shane White. It's his first published comic work. It's a graphic novel, autobiographical graphic novel called North Country. That was published by Comics Lit, and it came out a few years ago, and Shane sent me a copy of it.
You're not sure if you like it because he's so pretty, or...
Because I know Shane, and I like him. I really like him, and it's like,
he is pretty.
Well, yeah, he's very pretty.
Shane, you're way too pretty.
Yeah, he's too pretty. But the story itself is about his childhood, and it basically starts off with him taking a flight back home, and in between all the sort of boring moments of being in an airport or being on the plane or whatever, he's remembering his childhood from different periods of time.
Thinking of myself. Sorry, that's not a good time to do that.
Stop thinking of yourself.
Stop thinking. But, you know, Shane didn't have a Leave It to Beaver kind of childhood. He didn't have a very good childhood. This is a very candid look at an abusive childhood. Both his parents abused him in different ways, mostly mentally, emotionally, more so than physically. But reading it and knowing him and having met him and knowing what kind of a positive and just happy person he is, I was shocked. I was really shocked to read this about him.
He kicks puppies.
Maybe, I don't know.
Stop poisoning up the school children.
And I can imagine that this was probably a very cathartic process for him to do this and sort of put it out there and everything. And by the end of the story, I think while he was writing it, you sort of get the ending that he came to, where it's like he was able to put this past him.
I bet that's true. I mean, as an artist, I've... There have been points in my life where I'm like, oh, man, this is, you know, everybody goes through, like, crappy parts of their life. And I know there's a particular point in my life where I'm just like, God, everything sucks. And I was going to do an autobiographical book. And through the process, it took about a couple of years of a process of just working on it and writing it, just doing bits and pieces. Never finished it until I got to a point where I was just like, working on this, what little I have, I don't care anymore.
Right.
So I've worked through it, you know. Right. So, you know, and people to this day ask me, you know, when are you going to do that book? And it's like, I don't really want to anymore.
Right.
You know,
because you've gotten past it.
I bet that it probably did have that effect.
I mean, it sure seems that way to me. But even beyond that, I mean, you know, like I said, when I'm reading it and I'm like, wow, this is, I mean, because I know him and I've met him and I've, you know, sat and talked with him and he's a great guy and I really like Shane, but I'm like, well, am I looking at this because of that? Am I really enjoying this or really liking it or really think it's amazing because of that? But then I stepped back and I looked at just purely the art of it, and Shane's fantastic.
He's one of the artists. Like I was saying about Francesco, really knows how to compose.
Yeah.
And he really is good with his balance of, like, black and... And it's something I've just been noticing a lot more because I'm trying to improve it in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at it a lot now. And guys like this are just natural, almost like... like you see those, like, like the 22 panels that always work thing.
Right, from Hollywood, yeah.
And you look at them and you just see, well, these panels work.
But how do you use them?
Or? Well, no, it's not how do you use them. It's just there's a reason why these panels work.
Okay, yeah.
Because they're a perfect balance of so-and-so. And you look at these cartoonists that just do these things naturally. And he's one of these guys, I think.
I have to agree. I mean, the pacing in it was amazing, and the transformation from moment to moment where, you know, the element of the story would change, something would change the tone of the story, and his art would reflect it perfectly. Right. And he used so many different types of styles, but not to the point where it was just eclectic or kind of a mess. I mean, it worked so well in the story. And, I mean, I've sent Shane emails that just, like, yelling at him that he needs to do more work. And Shane has a very clear vision of what he wants to do artistically, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that, but it kills me because I want to see this guy doing more because I just think he's an amazing artist. So, I don't, you know...
He's going to be at Chicago.
He will be in Chicago, and I'll beat him up there for not doing enough work.
I'll beat him up.
For being pretty.
Good.
No, he's pretty. He did all of that. I mean, he wrote it.
He
draws it, inks it, colors it. I mean, that's not fair.
It isn't, really.
Come on.
I agree, man.
Seriously.
And you look at that in the variety, too.
That's what I mean. I mean, from page to page.
It might as well just be called Look What I Can Do. You know?
It's a fantastic work. Like I said, I don't know if it would be for everybody because it is. I mean, it's not necessarily a... You know, it's not an action story. It's about his childhood,
right.
And it's about him, you know, having to deal with his parents and growing up in situations and that. But
I'm borrowing it from you.
Do you really think though that you were jaded at all? That you really judged it because you liked the guy? Do you think that really, or do you think that if you had noticed, like, man, this is crap, that you wouldn't have said anything?
Well, no, absolutely not.
I mentioned it on the show.
I would have never mentioned it if it was no good. Yeah.
So there you go.
I just kind of wanted it because, like, Shane is very. I mean, when he sent it to me, he's like, you know, please don't talk about this unless you think it's good. Just because you know me, I mean, that's the you know, it's like don't do it because and I wouldn't. I mean, but I wanted to sort of say that it's like I wasn't just talking about this book because
no, I understand.
I know Shane.
I would have a problem doing that too. So
you know,
that's why.
But it really is. I mean, even just if just artistically, it's fantastic and it's really good stuff. You can get it at because I asked him about it.
You can't get that in stores.
I don't think you can get it in stores. It came out a few years ago. It was very limited print. It didn't really have any. You know, sort of marketing behind it. I think you can get it online. You might be able to get it on Amazon, but it's North Country by Shane White.
Yep.
It was published by Comics Lit, and I absolutely recommend it.
Buy it.
Yeah, it's really
borrowing it now.
You take it. All right, well, that will wrap up our top of the stack. Our next segment.
Okay.
Which was highly controversial last week.
Why is your segment highly controversial?
Well, Scotty hated it. Hated the idea of it. It's
I think
basically
we hadn't gotten it down.
Right. We did. Yeah, it was the first time.
He
said it was
this
stupid.
This is what you got to do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh jeez. Come on.
And then
Scotty.
Tom jumped on the bandwagon with Scotty to make fun of it, and it was
right
not
away,
pretty.
Though.
It was ugly.
Right away though, because
has he tried to get you to do the relationship episode?
No. Yes.
Scotty and I are going to start our own relationship show.
Oh God. Well, anyway, this is basically we're going to call it Wednesday's List, and it's just some books that are coming out this Wednesday that we either want to kind of remind you of that are coming out or we think may be
good.
That's
a good idea. What's wrong with
that?
That's
what I thought. It's like people, well.
It started off, I think, now we're like talking about why it didn't work. I think the picks this week.
I'm just sorry.
I know. The picks this week, I think, are. I think what happened was the first pick last week, John asked a question.
And I didn't know what the book was. I had put it in there.
It threw it all off.
Yeah, it just went crazy.
I didn't keep my nose out of your business.
These are not books that we know anything about necessarily. We haven't seen previews.
That you think look good.
I just looked through the list and I said, hey, you know, here's some books that are coming out.
These are good picks. So let's go.
Hey, I do like this.
All new Adam number 12.
All new Adam number 12. Yep. Mike's new run.
Adam's been fantastic. Pick it up. I love it. Gail Simone has a very unique voice in this book that you're not going to find
in a lot of
other books.
I have seen the art to this book already. I snuck into Mike's
Amazing,
house
yeah.
when he was sleeping.
And Ninja didn't do shit.
Ninja didn't even look at me. No, but definitely, yeah. This has been a really good book, and it's only going to get better.
I hope everybody likes it. If anybody is wanting to know what ever happened to Ray Palmer, go buy it.
There you go. You'll find out. Superman Doomsday Omnibus trade paperback is coming out. So if you're looking forward to
it, it's only $19.99.
Yeah, $19.99
for an omnibus. Yeah. How many pages are in that thing?
It's got to be big.
300.
That's really cheap.
An omnibus and have like.
Yeah, cool. That's
200.
But I don't know if it's soft cover because they're calling it a trade paperback.
Is,
so
they've
it's
had soft cover.
Soft cover. Okay.
Bullet points.
Bullet points trade paperback. I love that series. Bullet points.
I liked the art a lot. The writing I had.
You had some problems with
Tommy Lee Edwards book.
Yeah, I really like that. Fear Agent Last Goodbye number one, the new Fear Agent that's starting up.
I can't wait for that. I think it's going to be great.
Essential Surfer volume one and two.
Wow.
You know, because of the Fantastic Four movie.
Gotcha.
And you know, but Silver Surfer fans, those are going to be $16.99 each. The Transformers movie adaptation number 1 of 4. I know there's a lot of people looking forward towards the Transformers movie. You could get a preview of that.
I love this. One.
Yeah, I put this one in.
I'll do 69 for Golden Age Aquaman.
Yeah,
only because of the fact that in All-Star Squadron they made fun of the fact that Golden Age Aquaman never showed up for any All-Star Squadron meetings until the end.
That's fine. What's up, man?
I was busy. If you want to know more about Golden Age Aquaman, email me. I'm not going to take up time now.
And then Death and the Man Who Would Not Die, number 1 of 4 from Silent Devil. This is the sequel to Death Comes to Dillinger,
dang,
which I know a lot of people were big fans of. So
keep an eye out for those.
Yeah, that's some stuff. There's more stuff coming out too, but those were just a few that we decided to
take
pick
a look around.
What's next? Our hotline. I want to remind
people. Why don't you tell us? I'm doing Christmas.
You're
going to
do Christmas part? You can give us a call at 1-888-65-GCAST, and there you can leave us a voicemail, and we will play it on the show just like this one.
Hey guys, it's David Price. Just wanted to send a quick note your way. Say you guys have been doing a great job.
You could have just called us.
Every episode out of the park. And, you know, I don't have anything witty here for today. So
never call
it. Just pretty much general accolades. Scotty has been a great addition to the show.
Don't say that.
And I also heard that for very good reasons, Mrs. Huntress won't be on the show too often for the foreseeable future. Well, I am saddened by that because I think that that John and Father Pad and Police Chief O'Hara and every other friggin' character he can come up with is always great to hear on the show.
I
wish him the best, and he will be missed. So that is about it for today. Again, great job all around. Looking forward to hearing all the rest. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thank you, David, for leaving the voicemail. David's from Bullpen Bulletin's podcast, obviously. If you've listened to the show before, you've probably heard that. A lot, you know, I can't believe how many people have been either posting on the forum or emailing about missing John, that they're very saddened.
He's not dead.
No, he's not dead. He's.
You should do a drawing of him going up to heaven to hug
Easy.
John Sundry's an easy.
But a lot of people are going to miss John.
Pouring their 40 out.
Including Nicola Scott.
Yeah.
I know she said that when she emailed us, which I think
we
you'll
won't hear until Thursday.
Thursday you'll hear that.
But if you want to email us,
you certainly
can read it as Gavin Smith did, and I will read it now. Hey guys, this is a Gavhole from the forums.
Gavhole.
You might want to change your name. I just wanted to say I hate you guys for getting me addicted to in-stock trades. Love the show. I was actually going to email you guys and suggest you do a segment about books coming out on the upcoming Wednesday.
Suck it, Scotty Young!
But you guys beat me to it. Can't wait for the next 101 episode, whatever it may be.
Little vindication for my new segment.
Yes.
Thank you.
We have another email from Chad Enright.
Yes.
I've just finished reading the Green Lantern Rebirth trade and I liked it. This is the first of any Green Lantern I've read and I understand I'm way behind. I've had a real hard time figuring out what continuity-wise I should read next. There are a lot of yays and nays for the series. So is it really hit or miss or is it worth the catch up on the current ongoing series? Maybe I should just turn this into a comics 101 suggestion. Chad. Well, you can just pick up, what was the trade that came out? The 1 year later trade for Green Lantern. Revenge of the Green Lantern.
I think. Was it really called Revenge? Yeah. That seems unoriginal.
Well, Revenge fine. Of the Jedi.
Revenge of the Jedi.
I would, well...
Wanted Hal Jordan.
I mean, there's good Hal Jordan stuff back there. I mean... Mm. But there's a lot.
Not in trade, though.
Oh, yeah, not in trade.
There's tons of shitty Hal Jordan stories you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've read Green Lantern Rebirth... If you've read Green Lantern Rebirth, if you look online and you find any of the relaunch Geoff Johns stuff, I think you'll be fine. I think you don't need to...
I'll tell you this much. There's not really anything... There's not much in, like, the entire history of Green Lantern that was better better than Green Lantern Rebirth.
Green Lantern Rebirth was really fucking good.
That was probably the best Green Lantern maybe ever.
There's been good ones, but... Johns, I think, really has a good grasp on Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And wherever you pick it up, if you pick it up at the beginning of a storyline, Johns doesn't leave you behind. You'll always kind of know what's going on.
Yeah. So. Our last email from Scott Dodds. He said, I've been looking for a book to give to my wife for a long time. I picked up Plain Janes, and my wife read it in one sitting. I hope this will lead to more comic reading. Also, the podcast on the Not Top 100, or Under the Radar, was really good. I am reading about 90% of the books you talked about. P.S. Nice. Good for Tom bringing back the stash. He is a brave man.
Shaved. My girlfriend would not have sex with me if I had a mustache. She said so, and I challenged her. She was able to turn this down.
Oh, amazing. All of this. Amazing. Well, it's cool that that your wife liked the Plain Janes. Like I said before, I liked it. I thought it was really good. I gave it to my niece. I hope she enjoys it. And, you know, I love turning people on to comics. So I'm glad that we were able to do some of that again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that ends our listener email, which means all we have left is the end of the show announcements. First of all, you can join our Friends of the Program. Go to AroundComics.com where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email, and we'll mention you and the store on the show as well as post it on our website. Become a friend of the program today.
Another way to become a friend with us is to visit such places as Comic Space at www.comicspace.com/AroundComics. You can also come to MySpace. Unless you're a stripper, then don't bother, because your account will be gone by the time we okay it.
We get a lot of those.
www.myspace.com/AroundComics. iTunes reviews, which we like the most, because
they make us feel good.
Time. Yeah. Thanks to Jeff Solomon, Negazi, and Comic Book Hero, and Troop Lee.
You can also go to our Frapper map and put a little marker on there from where you're at. We had a couple of people join the Frapper map this in the last couple of weeks. Gordomatic from St. Helena, California.
Yeah!
He said, laughing every moment at work whilst my coworkers look at me in disbelief. We get a lot of people complaining, or not complaining, but saying that their coworkers...
people love Mirth.
And then we had Top of the Ninth Comics, who we heard from, we'll hear from on Thursday. They sent us an email. Traverse City, Michigan, best podcast out there, and the only one with Doom as a panel member.
Everyone should keep their eyes out for news from Lake Latveria.
I hate that
segment. It will be coming soon. I've been hearing rumors. Yeah, whatever. And speaking of rumors, I hear a rumor about that we are a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
It's not a rumor.
It is. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Just so everybody's aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum and Around Comics, which should be tomorrow, since today is Monday's episode.
Yeah, and don't sign up for the forums pretending to be me.
Please don't, because you'll just get banned, and I'll search you, hunt you down, and find out your...
If you're a future Mike Norton or Mike Norton from the past, and somehow ended up in our current time...
Internet fraud sucks.
Yeah, don't do that. That's just lame.
I'll see you at the crossroads.
But next week Thursday we're talking with Jamie McKelvey from Phonogram, but next
he's
Thursday...
He's dreamy too, by the way.
He is dreamy. And next week we'll be talking with the professor from SCAD, who nice. Listens to our show, and we're going to be talking about.
Does he have a name, or is he? Just
you know, I don't have it. I don't have it in front
Scad.
Of me.
I don't,
Professor Scad.
Bad. No, I don't. Brad from Scad. No, I don't. I don't. Honestly, I don't have it in front of me. Chris has all that. He keeps all that stuff very tight to the vest.
Hidden from me.
He hides the stuff. This is like an episode of Lost. You don't get the scripts.
My spontaneity is crafted.
Oh.
We'd like to thank Borders again for sponsoring the show.
In an effort to help mice thrive despite dangerous predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, the Guard discovers a traitor in its midst.
Ta-ta-ta.
Get your copy of the handsomely illustrated Mouse Guard by David Peterson at your local Borders.
Bum, bum,
Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
And we'd like to remind everybody we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
It looks like I'm in charge of the end.
Do it.
This is the end.
It's on now.
Mother.
This is the end.
Father, I want to kill you. This is the end.
The end, my friend.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Sal.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
This is unprecedented.
You're not going to hit us with a baseball bat. No.
Everyone plays on a team. Thanks to Mark at Dark Tower, who left before we did, for hosting us as always. Everyone have a fantastic week.
Yes.
We will be back again on Thursday, talking with Jamie McCulvey about his life in England with another episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere.
In.
And around.
Comics!
I got a pee.
Timing's way off.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is wrong? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.